Welcome to Discovery and Inspiration, a podcast from the National Humanities Center. I'm Brooke Andrade, Vice President for Library and Digital Services, and your host for this episode. Theatrical productions allow playwrights and audiences alike to engage with historical and contemporary social realities. But what are the consequences when particular types of dramatic texts and performances are inadequately disseminated and preserved? Our guest today, Elena Machado Saez, is analyzing the ways that Latinx theater in the United States depicts forms of activism and resistance while building shared archives and communities. At the same time, she is exploring the development of new networked venues for Latinx productions across geographic regions and on digital platforms. This year, as a fellow at the Center, Elena is working on a book project tentatively titled Archival Activism and U.S. Latinx Theater. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Over the years, so many fellows have told us that their time in residence at the National Humanities Center transformed their work. Has your fellowship this year changed the direction of your project?
Absolutely. I think part of the challenge I had was thinking through what the relationship was between the depiction of activism and the actual institutional work of theaters. And I felt like these were two separate trains that I didn't know how or where they intersected. And being able to have conversations with other fellows, these project workshops where we get to share our work, but also just the informal conversations about each other's projects have really helped me understand and value the ephemerality of performance as a space that can hold, that can create, that can pass on cultural memory, and specifically cultural memory about activism, Latinx activism.
Can you give an example of one of those intersections or a conversation that's influenced your work?
So one of the things I've been doing over the course of a semester is interviewing Latinx playwrights who are artistic directors or founders of different theater institutions. And it's through speaking with them, I'm thinking in particular Milta Ortiz of Borderlands Theater, who spoke to me about her own inspiration for a docudrama she had written about student high school activism in response to the 2010 banning of Mexican American studies in Arizona. And in talking to her, I really had a sense of, one, that this was community-based work she was doing. She was going out into the community, talking with people who were engaged in this activism, and looking not only at the memories of accomplishment, but also the tensions within the movement, the student movements themselves. And in the process, creating this play called Más, which has a dual meaning. Like, on the one hand, MAS means more in Spanish. On the other hand, Mexican American Studies, the acronym is MAS. So she was looking at, one, sort of pulling the resources of community knowledge about this activism, but then also reflecting it back to the community so that its lessons could continue to kind of shape the contemporary activism, the historical knowledge of the community, the sense of what worked and what didn't work in terms of activism, the lessons that were learned, and ensuring that those lessons were passed on. And that's actually part of the broader work of Borderlands Theater as well. They do oral histories of local neighborhoods in Tucson, Arizona, and it's a very dialogic process where they go to these spaces, they talk to people, they create gatherings, and these gatherings inform the work on stage as well as creating community, which is, you know, stage one of ensuring generational continuity of historical knowledge.
Yeah, I was fascinated when I first encountered your project because, first of all, I had not thought about theaters engaging in activism before. Mm-hmm. And that was intriguing. But also, as a librarian, the fact that theaters were performing archival work. Why are they doing that? How is that a form of activism?
I think when I look at the history of U.S. Latinx theater, especially Mexican-American theater, Spanish-language theater from 1700s, 1800s on, there was always a community engagement aspect of these theaters where you had elites running these institutions. At the same time, they would perform fundraisers for the local communities. They saw very much a relationship of responsibility and care, community care, as part of the function of these Latinx theaters. I think that intent or mission continues today. And the challenge of communities of color within the United States is that their histories are consistently erased. And so these institutions are outside of traditional spaces for archiving history and knowledge and cultural practices. There's a sense that the need is always there, the community expresses this need, and that these U.S. Latinx playwrights are not outside of the community, but they're helping the community speak with the community. And what I had a hard time thinking at first was in terms of valuing what was happening within that theater space. It was clear to me that what they did community work outside of the stage was archival. But it was hard for me to move beyond my desire to valorize, like, print culture, museums, libraries, and think about, oh, when someone is performing this depiction of activism, that in that space of the play, temporarily, the audience is engaged with that creation of memory, passing on of memory. And yes, it's ephemeral. I can't document it via traditional ways, but the impact is no less significant than that of creating videos of, you know, community conversations about oral history of Barrio Anita in Tucson, Arizona.
Something I find unique about your project is that you are watching performances, recorded performances, and also interviewing performers. And generally, literary scholars tend to study plays as texts and focus less on how they're performed. So how does watching a performance, talking to performers, influence your scholarship and this project?
And I think that is absolutely true, that as a literary studies person, I feel much more comfortable analyzing a text, thinking through the kind of implications of what is the depiction of activism? Who is doing the activism? How do they talk about activism? But to actually think through what does this look like when it's on the stage and who is in the audience? Because I think what makes it unique in terms of these institutions that are U.S. Latinx communities, that these plays are intended to speak to their own communities. And so that dialogue is one that doesn't happen on the page. It happens on the stage, and it happens through this idea of where are these performances held? Many of them are in community centers as opposed to just a traditional theater space. They do tours into different places. Like, I'm thinking of Tana Guil Marquez's adaptation of Twelfth Night, which actually visited immigration migrant centers where people are being served who are in the agriculture business. And these are Latinx migrants, their families. And so what does it mean that they actually travel to them as opposed to expect these populations to come to them? Or they have these performances within community centers where these communities feel comfortable entering those spaces, as opposed to, I think there are many mainstream and regional theaters which want to bring in these populations. But how can these people feel a sense of permission or ownership of that space? And so I think that is what's unique about thinking about performance, is that relationship between performer, writer, director, and the audience. And how do these communities actually speak to each other and build that sense of belonging and change making? So this idea that the stage, the space, the performance space is actually also a space of remembering, learning, and a kind of call to action as well. And all of those things you're not, that's one thing I want to do now moving forward, now that I've spoken to the playwrights, now I've read their work, I've seen their recordings, I really want to physically be in those spaces myself, you know, to walk the barrio, to engage with these audiences, see who's there, see how their reaction, what do people talk about when they leave? I think that all those dynamics are so essential and fundamental to changing my disciplinary thinking.
Yeah, so you talk about these plays, including a call to action. Can you tell a story of a call to action that affected change or at least created a movement?
So one of the things that interests me is how are these Latinx institutions founded, by who and when, and what are they responsive to? And one of the organizations that I find really intriguing is called BAD, with an exclamation point. It's a B-A-A-D exclamation point. And it was founded by Arthur Aviles and Charles Rice Gonzalez in the 80s as a way of responding to an arm of activism in relationship to the AIDS crisis, that basically how community care was happening was not being directed at these Latinx communities, people of color, in the Bronx. So here we are, Hunts Point in the Bronx in the 1980s, and Rice Gonzalez and Arthur Aviles decide to create this organization that performs plays, dance performances for the community, by the community, and really creating a sense of community belonging for queer people of color, in addition to creating spaces for the local community to create their own work, to sort of learn the strategies of writing, of dancing. So it's very much an educational institution that's still around today. It offers programming that's still about dance, performance, music. And I think very much was a healing force during the 1980s, where these spaces were experiencing divestment. You know, here is this Afro-Puerto Rican playwright deciding to found and create this space exactly where he saw the community need and that no one else was responsive to. And what I find amazing is that the only reason I came to know Rice Gonzalez's work is because of an academic anthology that was published in the past 10 years. To me, it's shocking that someone who was such a groundbreaking Latinx theater maker was not on my radar, despite my interest in teaching the work of U.S. Latinx playwrights. Really, I want to raise awareness not simply about these plays that are about activism and interested in the lessons of activism, but also looking at and acknowledging the invisible labor that these playwrights have done for their community. And precisely because it was aimed at their community, no one's had much of an interest in it. But I see these as completely intertwined, the creation of art and the creation of community spaces for theater.
It sounds like these theaters are really meeting people where they are and filling a need, filling a void where other organizations have not stepped in. Are these theaters mostly in cities and towns with large Latinx populations?
Yes, absolutely. And I think one of the interests I have is creating a digital map that will offer an opportunity to improve the visibility of these institutions so that the broader public can support by attending the performances, by investing in their fundraising. And when I look at this sort of initial map that I'm creating of organizations that have been founded in the past, let's say 20 years, I see these traditional centers of California, Texas, New York, South Florida, but I also see the emergence of theaters where there are newer populations of Latinx communities. And, for example, Cleveland, Ohio, Wisconsin, Oregon, Kentucky. But one of the challenges I've found is while I can see the vestiges, I mean, some of these things because of the pandemic, these organizations have kind of fallen to the wayside. But I'm interested in also documenting these closed theaters because I think they also tell a story of invisible labor, and that even if these theaters no longer exist, even if the pandemic closed them down, it's important that we know they existed because the work was still done. Like that community building work was still done, and that community holds the memory of that. And so I want to show not simply the theaters that continue to be active, but also make visible the imprint that these institutions made in their specific locations that are not considered or thought of as spaces where Latinx populations are in the United States.
I know that you also work on social media and think about how that intersects with these performances. Who should we be following?
That is a very good question. My research in social media began by looking at Lin-Manuel Miranda's Twitter feed and how he imagined his audience, how he spoke to his audience, and the kind of affective bonds that he built with them that connected to sort of neoliberal model of lobbying as a fundraising tool. As part of that research, I came to kind of wonder, well, what is everyone else doing? Where are the other U.S. Latinx playwrights? And so I was invited by Trevor Buffone, who really has done amazing work in terms of U.S. Latinx theater, to contribute to a collection on TikTok. And I have a very ambivalent relationship with social media. I'm more of a lurker. So I just was like, I don't know anything about TikTok, but I'll check it out. Let me see what's happening there. And what I found is there are certain theaters that, honestly, because they have the staffing to be able to produce new content online, there are only a few, a handful, that were actually using TikTok to reach newer audiences. I would say Borderlands Theater was really doing interesting stuff, especially during the pandemic, where they were having local high school students producing videos about their pandemic experience, and that was really original content. I think the other producer that I saw doing really interesting work on social media was Gabriel Rodriguez with his account at Genuinely Gabriel, where he had a whole series of videos, between 40 to 60 different videos about these are the plays you didn't get to read about in your theater program. And he would essentially raise the visibility of these plays and say, you know, here are these BIPOC playwrights, but a lot of them, substantial amount of them, were U.S. Latinx playwrights. This is what the plot is about. This is why you should read it. This is why it matters. And that limited series, I think it was basically between 2020 and 2021, was really one of the examples where I saw original content happening. And you could see also this sort of intersection between performance and activism in terms of education. And I don't think it's a coincidence that many of these plays and playwrights and theaters are invested in education as a mechanism by which they can train local communities, provide them with the tools to become theater makers, but also plays that focus on activism within educational spaces, as spaces to transform and give access to communities, histories of their knowledge, or also acknowledging that those are spaces of censorship as well.
Absolutely. And I want to wrap up with this idea of a call to action, because it sounds like your work in some ways is a call to action for us to support and better understand and better recognize Latinx theaters. So what can we do, listeners, to raise awareness, to support these theaters, which are doing such important work in their communities?
One, you could very simply look up. You're like, I live in Chicago. Where is Latinx theater happening here? Look it up in terms of BIPOC theaters. You know, there are Power Street Theater, for example, in Philadelphia, supports the work of U.S. Latinx playwrights. You could say, oh, I live in, you know, Delaware. You could do a very simple Google search that just says Latinx Theater Delaware, and you would be able to find that local. And so I would say, one, educate yourself. You can do the work. You do not need to rely on other people. I think this is a tendency oftentimes to say, I need to find a person of color to tell me where I need to go. No, you can do this on your own. Two, go attend a performance. These performances are so affordable. There are some theaters that explicitly want to produce free performances. So one, attending them is an excellent way of showing your support, whether you pay or not for those performances. Two, they are always raising funds. Fundraising is an essential part of them staying alive. Three, you could volunteer. I mean, the challenge of many of these theaters is how do we pay for professionals to do the work? So if you have any knowledge about social media or fundraising, maybe you're a good fundraiser, reach out and say, I want to support you. In what way? And I do think that the aspects of attending performances, donating money, are simple ways of supporting the work of U.S. Latinx theater makers, but also just asking the question, what do you need? And having them define what their needs are. These are very small organizations, you know? I mean, on staff, you might have like 5 people or maybe 15. So developing a relationship with these people is very easy. And I think anyone would welcome being asked what their needs are and supporting those needs. And I think that's another function of educating yourself. Educate yourself where this is happening, and to educate yourself on what the needs of that community are.
Well, thank you so much for giving us really practical ways, starting with a Google search, to support Latinx theater. And we look forward to learning more about your work as it's published. And thank you to everyone who's joined us for this discussion. Please tune in to the next episode of Discovery and Inspiration from the National Humanities Center.